number one sports site in the world.
Live from the Quick and Wound studios of the Yahoo Sports Radio headquarters. Nighttime. This is the right time.
You're on the nighttime now.
It's Tony D on Yahoo Sports Radio.
All right, welcome to the Nighttime on Yahoo Sports Radio. I am Tony D. Thanks for making us part of your overnight as we go through the news of the night and a big one coming out of the NFL. Pro Football Talk reporting that the NFL is investigating five players, count them five, on that old Al Jazeera documentary, accusing them of using performance-enhancing drugs. The five players are Clay Matthews, Julius Peppers, James Harrison, Mike Neal, and the retired Peyton Manning. We remember this story because Peyton Manning was at the centerpiece of it, but then it kind of went away. One of the parts of the documentary was recanted. Peyton Manning had to answer for it. He answered about it, a number of times during the season. But the reality is that he denied, and actually called it junk. And I mean, he was very adamant about this. Well, now the NFL is going to do its formal investigation on this. Even though there's no evidence, even though there's nothing else but this report, the NFL feels like it has to go do its due diligence on this. If you are Peyton Manning, do you give this the time of day to clear your name, or do you say, no, I am not going to do this, and I'm not going to answer every single time some entity wants to make money by putting my name attached to a report? If you've got evidence, bring it up. If you're just throwing out accusations, no, I will not be spending time with you, NFL, talking about this. I'm retired and I'm done. If it hurts, if it hurts me down the road, if I want to become an executive, then shame on you. But I'm not going to be sitting here answering Al Jazeera accusations. Or if you're Peyton Manning, do you say, you know what? I don't want that suspicious cloud over me. I don't want that. So I know I didn't do anything. So I will answer the questions and I will cooperate fully. If I'm Peyton Manning, I don't give them the time of day on this. I know my name is going to be attached to it. I know there's going to be rumors circulating. And now people are going to believe what they believe. But I don't answer this. And the reason I don't answer this is because I don't give these kind of things a time of day. If there is evidence, if there is a smoking gun, I will answer that. But I am not going to answer accusations on somebody trying to sell a documentary or somebody trying to make a name for themselves in a documentary. So this, again, is a story that's going to have some legs here. Because there's a couple of angles on this. One, we touched on this in the last hour. If the NFL feels it's necessary to have an investigative unit go out there and hammer home all of the every single accusation that comes their way via news agency, then they're going to be very, very busy. And they're going to hire a lot of people. Because there's going to be this occasionally there's going to be a news entity popping up making an accusation without real evidence. Now, it doesn't happen all the time because there's libel laws and stuff. So it's not going to be like the Channel 8 News in some city is going to go, yeah, let's just throw out this guy's name. No, there's going to be they're going to report like, hey, this guy says this, you know, and they'll report it. You know, there's no evidence, but this guy claims. Does the NFL have to go down that road all the time? Every time? And that's my question tonight. Is the NFL doing itself a service here by going after players who are just accused of PEDs? Again, there's no smoking gun here. There's no evidence. It's just a he said type of thing. People make accusations. People who think they're in the know or at least are in the know are making accusations. Should the NFL investigate? Now, listen, I can understand why they'd want to. My God, Deflategate. Think about the money and the time they spent on that. So when it comes to performance-enhancing drugs, that is a real issue. That is an issue that it's important because when you think about it, it's not just the integrity of the game, it's the future of the game. Where are you setting the bar if you don't get a handle on it? Remember when Major League Baseball was so out of control? You know, we had, you know, Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire and Barry Bonds, and we had all, you know, all these players guys were hitting 50 home runs and had never hit 25, and it just didn't feel right. And there were all of these accusations that were flying around, and Major League Baseball kind of let it go unchecked for a while, and they enjoyed the prosperity the game was giving them with all the attention of guys going for home run records. And then collectively, America started going, yeah, this doesn't feel right. There's something wrong. And then Congress got involved, and everybody kept saying, why is Congress involved? That's stupid. Congress is, they should have other things to do with their time. Well, one of the things that they do with their time is handle the antitrust situation, and baseball was under that. But I was personally glad Congress got involved in that, because baseball wasn't doing anything, and the players' union wasn't doing anything. And the owners didn't want to do anything. And when you have that situation go down, the one entity that can come in and make you do something is Congress, especially if you're under antitrust protection, and Congress gave you that antitrust protection. But I was glad Major League Baseball was accountable for something, because you don't want the game and the players in it to be feeling like that their involvement in that has to grow and grow and grow. This guy's doing it, my competition is doing it, therefore I do it, and therefore they do it, and they do it some more, then I have to do it more. Then if I'm going to want to keep my job, want to keep my multi-million dollar salary, I need to look like this, I need to be like that. And next thing you know, it's dominating your game. And the only way you can make it to Major League Baseball if you're a young kid is to take this stuff, because everybody else is, and that's the level, that's where the bar is. So I understand why the NFL would want to interview these guys. We have a handle on this. But again, accusation by a news agency without any real proof is enough to warrant an investigation. And I think this is a bad place for the NFL to be in. You do your tests, do your tests. But anytime a news organization throws out a name, you don't need to go running. You don't need to send the crew. You don't have subpoena power, so investigations are going to take a long time. Do you have the authority to suspend somebody just on an accusation with no evidence? Well, you tried it with Tom Brady, and you're still in that disaster. So I think this is a bad place for the NFL to be in. Now, James Harrison is ripped because his name is on this, and there's this story is making it an accusation, and an investigation is coming on him. He wants the NFL to conduct its tests at his house at his time. Now, remember, I think it was James Harrison that one time said he wouldn't, I'm going to use lighter language, but he said he wouldn't urinate on Roger Goodell if he was on fire back in 2010, 2011. Because remember, at the time, Roger Goodell was changing the game. Roger Goodell was changing the way guys were tackling. Now, Harrison had a real problem with that, because he tackled a certain way. And then the NFL was saying, no, we're gonna do it this way. And Harrison got mad, and he feels like Goodell was just a power-hungry dictator. So now you can only imagine the frustration of that feeling of being in an investigation by the NFL for something that you're just associated with on an Al Jazeera America report. Oh, this has got legs. I'm telling you, it's got legs. 800-777-2907. But I'm asking about Manning. Would you cooperate? Would you cooperate? You're retired. Your legacy is secure. You really don't want anything to stain it. You don't want anybody to start thinking about you in a different way. You could easily make this disappear by cooperating. Or do you say no? No, because the precedent isn't right. As a member of the players' union or former member of the players' union, I don't want to give the power of this league to come in and question me, question players without solid evidence every time their name is associated with something, just because a guy wants to make a name for himself and maybe make a buck selling his story. So I could go and cooperate and clear my name, but you know what? For the good of the union, I'm going to stand with my brothers and sisters on this and say, no, we're never going to give the league this much power. I wouldn't. And the reason I wouldn't is because I wouldn't go down that rabbit hole with the NFL. I just wouldn't go down the rabbit hole with them. It just doesn't seem to make sense from a player standpoint, from a league standpoint. I totally get it. 800-777-2907. All right, coming up, I want to get to something a little bit more lighter because we're going to revisit this coming up at the bottom of the hour with Jason Cole. He's got a little bit more on this from Bleacher Report. I'll ask him all of these kind of questions. Would you cooperate if you were Peyton Manning? All that's coming up in about 20 minutes. But coming up next, college football season is right around the corner, and a lot of us go on road trips. Where's the best college football experience? Well, one website has a list of the best places to go and experience the college football atmosphere. I'll give them to you coming up next, and I was a little surprised at number one. That's next, Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
All right, glad you're going to be with us here on Yahoo Sports Radio. Jason Cole, Bleacher Report, is going to join us at the bottom of the hour. We'll get his take on this NFL PED investigation, get his thoughts on that. The story is just kind of filtering out right now. We've gotten the union side of it, the NFL side of it. Whether or not Peyton Manning is going to be investigated has been up in the air, but I think he is going to be investigated, or at least be asked to, you know, questioned. On this story, Al Jazeera had reported this. I thought the story had gone away, but it's now got some legs. So again, Jason Cole, bottom of the hour, Bleacher Report. We'll talk to him about that. All right, so this is what we do in summer sports radio as we get ready for football season, but we're not quite there yet. And is that you end up seeing a lot of lists. You end up seeing a lot of things that kind of get you excited. And I peruse some of them, and some of them I just ignore. Some of them I'm like, yeah, you know what, I'll go over that on the show, whether I agree or disagree. This one from Athlon Sports had the best college towns or best college experiences when you go out and about and you follow your favorite football team on the road, or maybe one of these locations is where you watch your favorite college football team. So I thought I'd go down the top 10, and I've been to a few of these places, but I was a little surprised at number one. So we'll start with number 10, Athlon Sports, and they interviewed a bunch of experts, college football experts. Yahoo Sports' Pat Forty was among those who participated, Travis Haney, Andy Staples, Bruce Feldman, so Stuart Mandel, so Matt Hayes. So a lot of guys that have been really, Rick Neuheisel from CBS. A lot of these guys really been around the college football game, have traveled to a number of places. So here are the 10 best places for college football atmosphere. Number 10 is Charlottesville, Virginia. Not hard to overcome with the sense of American history when walking through the picturesque college town. Reminders of Thomas Jefferson and the Revolutionary and Civil Wars are everywhere, including the iconic Rotunda. All right. I mean, that seems like a pretty cool place to watch the Virginia Cavaliers, Charlottesville, Virginia. I've never been there, but I have been to Chapel Hill, North Carolina, and I was a little surprised it was on the list. Chapel Hill, North Carolina is a beautiful place. It's a really nice area. The food is really good, but I wouldn't put it as one of my top places to watch a football game. I was there one time, and I had a good time, a good experience. Watched South Carolina there years ago. It was like 2000, oh God, years ago. But it was really nice, and it was pretty cool, but it was definitely not one of the top experiences I've ever had covering a college football game or going to a college football game. But it's a really nice campus. I mean, Chapel Hill is a gorgeous, gorgeous campus. But again, you know, it's a basketball school. Football has just had tremendous ups and not so good years. But I thought the atmosphere was fine, but certainly not a top 10. I have not been to number 8, Palo Alto, California. I have seen it a number of times. It looks fantastic. It's where the Super Bowl 19 was played in Palo Alto. But watch a lot of Stanford games, a beautiful campus, beautiful place. Apparently, it's got a really great city atmosphere as well. It's in the Silicon Valley of California. It's definitely not an average sports college town. It's very laid back, et cetera, et cetera. But everything is beautiful. Everything is beautiful at Palo Alto. Number 7, I swear, Adam, if we ever take this show on the road for college football, I will beg, plead, I will borrow, I won't necessarily steal, but I'll come close. I really want to go to number 7, and that's Eugene, Oregon.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
I have to be in that stadium before I die. I have to.
Yes.
The way they built it acoustically, they say it's the loudest stadium you will ever be in college football because the engineers have designed it to trap noise. So it is an incredibly loud atmosphere. But they say everything about it is great. Everything. Eugene is a cool town, a lot of microbreweries. It's just got a great downtown atmosphere. Animal House was filmed there. It's got like a great, great college vibe. But again, the stadium is as loud as any stadium in the world. It's just, again, it doesn't even have that many people. It's not like it's 100,000 people that are there or 97,000 people there. I think it's like 70, but they trap the noise in really, really well. So I would love to go there one time. Stuart Mandel wrote, Eugene is just cool. You could get from the hardcore football tailgates to the hemp shop within 5 minutes. That's pretty cool. Number six, Oxford, Mississippi. I've been to Oxford, Mississippi. I would definitely put this in my top five, if not my top three. Oxford, Mississippi, where Ole Miss plays, is one of the most beautiful, beautiful southern campuses in the country. It is flat out gorgeous. The Grove is fantastic. The women are gorgeous. There was that old line I think Tim Brando used to use, they redshirt Miss America's there. I know I've told you the line in another sports writer had wrote that if you were to get hit over the head unconscious and you were dragged to Oxford, Mississippi, and you were woken up and you were told that you had died and gone to heaven, you would believe that person. It is that gorgeous. Really great place. The Grove is fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. And I had a buddy of mine from South Carolina who had a lot of runs political campaigns. And I was staying with him one fall for about a week, and he was going to Mississippi, and he says, we got to go to Ole Miss. So we ended up scrounging tickets for it, which I don't know how he got them. But we walked around the Grove, and it was wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. Number five, Ann Arbor, Michigan. Nicknamed Tree Town for its dense forestation, Ann Arbor is a beautiful combination of small college and a growing urban landscape. Big Blue football, the crisp autumn experience is unlike any found in rival Southern college football locales, and there's a lot more to do here. Classic Big Ten. I've never been to the Big House. I hope I go there someday, and I hope I go see Ohio State there someday.
I've been there three times, and every time's been even better as I've gotten older, but I have never seen Ohio State. That's one thing I need to do before I pass away.
Bruce Feldman wrote, this is a classic Big Ten town with college charm, but also doesn't turn into a ghost town 24 hours after a home game. And that is true. That a lot of southern places, that's exactly what happens.
There's always people Ann Arbor.
So Ann Arbor's in the top five. Number four, I spent a tremendous amount of time in Boulder, Colorado, watching the Buffaloes. I covered the Buffaloes. I went as a fan. I took my family. A lot of games in Boulder. It is as beautiful as anybody will ever tell you. I think the foothills and the way that campus is set, the way that football field is set, it's not the prettiest stadium in the world. It's got a lot of old school charm. Mork and Mindy has a scene in their opening monologue back at that show from the 70s with Robin Williams, where the show was based in Boulder and they filmed it at Folsom Field with Ralphie, and it's just sort of the laid back lifestyle, the laid back campus. The problem with Boulder is it's so beautiful, but there is a lot of apathy amongst the students when the football team's not good. So you don't get necessarily that large student atmosphere there. It's hard to do. Number two is Madison, Wisconsin. Heard great things about Madison. I would love to go to Madison. It is on the list of best cities to live in America, all of that. Madison, Wisconsin is number two. The number one team, number one city on this list, I was a little bit surprised, because I think if you're going to go in the SEC, there are a few better places than this, but this is still a pretty good one, and it was Athens, Georgia, between the hedges. Athens is a nice campus. It's got a lot of southern charm. The atmosphere is great. The fan base is crazy. There's tons of bars. There's tons of restaurants. There's a lot of stuff to do. I've been there. Saw South Carolina play there twice. It's got a very good bar district. But I would put my experience in Oxford above that, and I would say that Florida and Alabama also very good atmospheres. I know Tennessee is a good atmosphere. Athens wouldn't be far and away the best one on my list, but these guys who cover college football have been to a lot of places and know a little bit more than me. So there you go. Pat Forty says, it has it all. Great downtown, a lot of great restaurants and bars, pretty campus, and my favorite football stadium. I'll take it from Pat. All right, coming up next, Jason Cole, Bleacher Report on the NFL, next.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
It's Tony D here on the Nighttime on Yahoo Sports Radio. And as we've been talking about, the NFL is going to be investigating five players for an Al Jazeera documentary that looked into PEDs. And now the union is saying, well, there's not really a lot of evidence. So there's a lot of different angles into this story. Jason Cole joins us from Bleacher Report to help us take a look at this. How are you, Jason?
I'm great. What's going on?
All right, we got to give a primer for this. Okay, so the Al Jazeera had a documentary, and in it, they were looking at performance-enhancing drugs. They made some, they named a few players, and now it looks like that the NFL is going to be investigating those players. Is that basically the way this thing started?
Yeah, it's exactly the way the thing started. I mean, it doesn't come from anything the NFL generated on its own or was given to them. It's an Al Jazeera investigation that named the players. The unfortunate part is that, you know, that stuff has been recanted, and there's nothing beyond the original quotes from the Al Jazeera story. I mean, it's not like there are receipts and mailing labels that have existed in other investigations that are similar to this, like the one with A-Rod down in Miami, where you had lots of clear evidence that, you know, there were shipments being sent to A-Rod. I don't think that exists in this case as of this moment.
So if we just have accusations and no other lingering evidence that came because of it, is the Players Association right that the NFL shouldn't be looking into this at all?
Well, they should be right that their guys should not be questioned necessarily. There's a slight difference there. Like, the players shouldn't have to answer questions until there's probably better evidence. Because otherwise, the standard is, okay, said agency, you know, whether it's a news agency or some other, says X number of players we're using and names five or six of them, right? Then all of a sudden, okay, is that justification every single time you're going to investigate somebody? So I think that the NFL Players Association has a good argument to be made to say, wait a second. All you have is a recanted story that lacks a lot of stronger evidence. Why should our players be answering questions about this at this point in time? And I think that that's fair, absent any other proof.
Does the collective bargaining agreement, does it allow the NFL to do this without the association's permission at all? Can the NFL just say, hey, you know what, we're in charge of the integrity of the game, and if what we want to, how we want to look at things is how we want to look at things, and tough luck?
It's not clear in this area. That has not, because again, one of your problems with, and I would not be critical of the NFL or the NFL Players Association in this one, there are a lot of things that come up in the course of, you know, running your business that you don't anticipate. So the mere accusation by a news agency does not mean that gives you license to then investigate those players and question those players. I mean, I shouldn't say it gives you license to investigate the players and probably ask around and say, okay, is there legitimacy to the story? And then if you get something that legitimizes the story, get other hard evidence, then at that point in time, you can come back to the players and say, okay, it's time to answer up for this. Like, we have found mailing labels and orders and, you know, further communications between this source and you, and here are the direct links. Or we've, you know, got a positive test for, you know, this drug that was named in the article, whatever it happens to be. You can do that kind of investigation, but answering questions, different standard. And again, I don't think that that's covered specifically in the collective bargaining agreement. And again, because you cannot, generally you can't write rules to cover every single thing that comes up. And that's why these rules are generally broad when it comes to enforcing PED rules, you know, conduct rules, the very broad rules that have to be interpreted between management and between a union.
Jason Cole joins us, Bleacher Report on the NFL, and it's looking into five players from an Al Jazeera report. I want to ask you this from a public relations angle. If you're the NFL, do you feel like, okay, we do have to look into this and we do have to do some due diligence here? After all, we just spent $5 million looking at a report on deflated footballs.
Sure. You absolutely have to look into it. Look, one of the most important things that you do in managing your organization is making sure that all the players are playing on the level. And so PED use is important. Probably PED use in and of itself is one of the single most important factors that you have to take into account when running your business. Everybody wants the game to be on the up and up. And privately, players will tell you, you know, I would say 40 to 60% of them will tell you they don't want PED use in the game because they don't want to feel the pressure that they have to use themselves. It's exactly. The cheaters that they want to get out of the game. I mean, you've seen the comments from guys like Jeremy Guthrie and Justin Verlander in baseball. They don't want cheaters in the game because they don't want to have to feel the pressure themselves to have to take. So a lot of players don't want PEDs in football. There's a strong group that do. I mean, I would say there's probably 30 or 40% of players who are probably trying to use or using something or think about using it because they know that that's a way to make money. But overall, I think most of the players don't want to feel that pressure to use PEDs if they don't have to.
Peyton Manning was one of the five. He is retired. Are they still going to ask him questions?
They have said that they're going to. We'll see if he cooperates.
If you are Peyton Manning, would you cooperate to clear your name, or would you let this go?
I would. Tough call. I would probably not cooperate. I think there's no win in cooperating in this one if you're a player. So I would not cooperate. I mean, you know, again, absent, like, show me one reason why I should talk to you. I'm telling you I didn't do this. I stand on my comments. I didn't do this. All you have is a recanted statement.
Can the NFL hurt Manning down the road if he wants to get back into the league as an executive or something along those lines because of this?
They could. I suppose. I think that, to be honest, I think the NFL really would prefer in Manning's case that this go away. But I think that they have, from a PR standpoint, they have to put up a good front and to make it sound like they're investigating this, if for no other reason than what you mentioned before, that they spent, you know, $3 million on 12 deflated footballs, you know, supposedly deflated footballs. So they have to do further investigation. But to be quite honest, I think the NFL is probably sitting here going, okay, we're doing our due diligence. And then privately, they're nodding in agreement to the NFL Players Association saying, yeah, you have a really good argument. We really can't talk to your guys. That's a great, great argument on the part of the NFL Players Association. We really can't talk to them. So I think that's privately what they're doing.
Jason Cole, Bleacher Report. This has been an interesting story. This has kind of got a lot of different angles to it. Thanks for helping us straighten it out a little bit.
No problem. Enjoy.
And again, like I said, it's just an amazing story. It's just where the NFL takes this is really, really interesting. They want to investigate this kind of thing, but the way they may have to go about investigating this kind of thing is troublesome. You don't know where. You have a recanted story in this Al Jazeera report, and all of a sudden they're taking names and bringing out the crew. But as I've been saying all night tonight, I see both sides of this. I see the union side of this because it's conceding too much power, and I see the NFL side of this. When you're running a sports organization, I don't care what it is, integrity is your number one concern. Where are we with the games? Are the games cheating? Is there cheating going on? I mean, that's why they took Deflategate so personally. It was they felt like the Patriots had done something wrong in Spygate, and then they had done something wrong again, and they overreacted a bit to that. And on this, I think they're kind of doing the same thing. Even though PEDs is a serious concern, you really can't send a bunch of investigators out every single time a news organization cites some shady guy making a name for himself by throwing some names out there. It's just not going to work. Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
All right, thanks for joining us here on Yahoo Sports Radio, 800-777-2907. All right, so NBA free agency is ready to start on the 1st of July. That's coming up on Friday, right? I mean, just right around the corner. God, we're already into July already. Summer's already cooking. Again, July 25th, countdown to kickoff. Anyway, the Memphis Grizzlies would love to keep Mike Conley. So they went out and built a video, very similar. They did this to for Marc Gasol, too. They made a video. And in the video is Grizzlies superfan Justin Timberlake. Basically, you in a video, trying to convince Mike Conley to stick around Memphis. I think that would work, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that work if you had Justin Timberlake in a video asking you to stick around on his favorite team? I think that would carry some weight. Who doesn't like Justin Timberlake? Justin Timberlake, I think, is one of those guys that no matter what, if I said, you know, I think I do this pretty well, Justin Timberlake probably does it better than I do. Like if I went, yeah, you know, I think this is, I cook pretty good. Like I make a mean lasagna. Justin Timberlake would make a better lasagna than I do. And he sings, he acts, he dances, he's got hits. He seems funny on Saturday Night Live. He's a good golfer. Anything he wants to do, he does well. So pitching Mike Conley to stay with the Memphis Grizzlies seems like something is totally up his alley. Didn't he marry Jessica Biel? Is that his wife?
Yes.
All right, Jessica Biel. She's pretty. At least she was pretty. Is she still pretty today? I haven't seen her. Last time I saw her was in a movie with like Adam Sandler. Like I haven't seen her in anything in the last couple of years. I mean that's the one he did with Kevin James where they were married, you know, because they were trying to get the insurance. Chuck and Larry,
yeah, whatever that is.
Yeah. She was in that and she was gorgeous, but yeah. I mean that's a good long. Ooh, that was a good chunk of change on the year curb. Justin Timberlake's great. I love him. That new song he's got, my daughter listens to it all the time. It's catchy. That dance song. He's one of the funniest Saturday Night Live guys ever. Guest host. When he's on, you just know it's good. He's really hilarious. And he's been funny on that show for 10, 15 years.
It's been 8 years since I now pronounce you Chuck and Larry.
Oh, see?
2007.
So, nine.
I can't do math.
So I haven't seen her in anything since. I know she was in that Seventh Heaven TV show.
Yeah, when
she
was
younger. It was a TV show where there was a preacher and yep. He had like seven kids and she was like a teenager on that show. And then, you know, she was in a couple of things and she's a really pretty gal. I just don't know what she's doing today except being married to Justin Timberlake. But go back to, I mean, wouldn't if you're Mike Conley, would you go, yeah, I could stick around. JT wants me to stick around. Or do you think he's like, yeah, thanks, but I need to get out of here. I need to go someplace where my skills are more in use rather than trying to get this team 88 points a game. I wouldn't mind it if it broke 100 every now and then. Thanks, JT, but I think I'm going to go someplace where they could really use my point guard ability. I don't know. I think that would work for me.
I'm on IMDb for Jessica Biel. I mean, there's not. She's done.
There really isn't
she's
anything.
Done stuff, but nothing I've heard
nothing,
of.
No blockbuster, right? She's not like Scarlett Johansson. She hasn't found the Black Widow role like in Avengers or anything like that, where she just is like, nah, I got the superhero movies. I'm good.
Yeah, no, I'm going to New Year's Eve. That was from 2011.
Really?
Yeah, my wife likes that movie. That one, The A-Team, she was in that in 2010.
God, A-Team.
The last thing she did, or she's filming Spark right now, and Invisible is right. Getting close to coming out.
Jessica Biel.
She's still
Justin
gorgeous,
Timberlake's
though.
Wife.
Still gorgeous.
Yeah, she's really pretty. I mean, don't get me wrong. She's really pretty. It's just, you never know. You know, I don't see him in the spotlight.
I think they had kids, if I'm not mistaken.
Really? Even better. Way to go, JT. And then he was the one that realized Britney Spears was crazy. When everyone was still all high on Britney Spears, thinking she was, oh, this hot young pop star. He was the one that kind of got dumped her and said, no, you trust me on this. And I was like, oh, you're crazy. Why'd you dump Britney Spears? He's like, no, you'll see. You'll see. Trust me. And then everyone went, oh, my God. Yeah, he was right. So are the Yankees and the Texas Rangers still playing baseball?
It does not look like it, no. All right, I believe that is over.
What a night. What a night at the stadium. Although I have to give props to Marlins, man. He was there the whole time during that whole delay. Behind home plate and everything.
You can go to marlinsman.com and you can find out where he's going to be night.
Okay. I think there's a bunch of Marlins fans. I think there are a bunch of Marlins
fans. I don't know. That guy looks, I don't want to be mean, but he's a weird looking dude.
Yeah, he's got a unique look.
Yeah, it's hard to replicate that.
I'm wondering if he's like a supervillain and he has plastic surgery so everyone looks like him, kind of like in Diamonds Are Forever, the James Bond movie, and he's just making a whole bunch of Marlins man so he can be all over the place. All right, so the Rangers Texas game tonight was delayed by like 10 hours. I mean, it was just like forever. Now, it rained in the top of the ninth and they turned the game. The game was probably going to be ending around 10-ish or so, 10:30 Eastern time. And they delayed it until they just started playing after 2 Eastern time. And Marlins man is at that game. Now, what are the odds that he's at that game? The Texas Yankees game. Like, of all the games in Major League Baseball tonight to be at, he's at the Texas Yankees games in the Bronx where it rains and they don't get the ninth inning done until 4.5 hours after it was scheduled to go off during regulation.
How many Marlins jerseys do you think he has?
He's got to have 5 or 6. He can't be washing them on the road, can he? How many hats does he have? He must have 10, 15 hats.
The Marlins have to give him something. They had to give him a ton.
The amount of publicity he gives them alone is crazy. He's good for baseball. Yahoo Sports Radio.